You have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm joking, go to Daniel. I won't give it to you three times in a row. Daniel chapter 3. Serenity said that y'all needed a hard Bible trivia tonight. That's what she said. She said y'all needed a hard one. Her definition of hard and y'all's is probably different, so that's okay. Who did Abraham marry when Sarah died? Who did Abraham marry when Sarah died? In the generic form, yes. She was a concubine, and of course, that was so Isaac could carry on the seed of Abraham as it was supposed to be. But you know, God promised Abraham that he'd be the seed of many nations. Under this woman, he had six more children, all men. Huh? Yes. Did George tell you?
No, I found it.
Oh, you found it. Genesis 25, correct?
Yes,
verse 1, yep. Genesis 25, all the way down through verse 6, I think, is the story of Keturah. She has six children, all men. And Abraham sent them out to go forth and multiply. There was a barber that thought he should share his faith with his customers more than he had been doing lately. So the next morning when the sun came up and the barber got out of bed, he said, "Today I am going to witness to the first man that walks through the door." Soon after he opened his shop, the first man came in and said, "I want to shave." The barber said, "Sure, just sit in that seat and I'll be with you in just a moment." The barber went in the back and prayed a quick prayer, desperately. "God, the first customer came in, and I'm going to witness to him. So give me the wisdom to know just the right thing to say to him. Amen." Then quickly, the barber came out with a razor knife in one hand and a Bible in the other while saying, "Good morning, sir. I have a question for you. Are you ready to die?" Maybe not the words or the wisdom that he was looking for that morning. Although I have asked some, heaven or hell. It's the truth of the matter. Daniel chapter 3, we'll be looking at verses 13 through 18, then we'll jump over to 25 through 27. I'll get with it in a minute. Daniel chapter 3, let's stand. Daniel chapter 3 and verse 13, the word of God said, "Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, 'Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at the time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden images which thou hast set up. Over to verse 25. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace, and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the princes, the governors, and the captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Father God, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for the night that you have blessed us with. Lord, we thank you for the good report that we have heard from the Cleghorns, how we labored in prayer for them, Lord. And Lord, what a blessing and encouragement they are, that no matter what they've been through, Lord, they always have one desire, and that's to go back to the country you called them to. Lord, we thank you for that. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for the good report on Anita. And Lord, we just pray you continue to touch and heal her, Lord. For all the prayer requests you mentioned tonight, Lord, just bless them. You know the hearts and the needs of the people, Lord. Father God, we do thank you again for the Wood family. We pray that you'll hedge them about, Lord, and bring them in safely. Lord, we pray that as our new pastor, that you would give him a vision for this church. And Lord, may this church truly become the light that we're supposed to be. Lord, but for the next couple of minutes, I pray that you'll just have me behind the cross, that you bless the reading of your word into the hearts of your people. And Lord, there'll be a lost one that won't be saved. But no matter what's done here tonight, Lord, may it be honoring and pleasing to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. We have three young Jewish lads removed from their homeland by war, by siege, taken into an idolatrous country where they serve little gods. They know not of the God of the Creator of the whole world, but they serve multiple ones, a God for this and a God for that. They are taken, and then they are chosen because of the way they look and the way that they act, to learn the Chaldean language and to become helpers unto the king of Nebuchadnezzar. And then we find that they prosper very well. Almost sounds a lot like a missionary going into a foreign land, taking a new God with them to teach a people a truth. The only difference for these three Jewish lads were they did not choose to go. They were made to go. But can I tell you, God takes you where He wants you. And when you get there, He'll use you if you let Him. These three Jewish lads had no idea what their purpose was. They had no idea why they were being taken from a country that they loved to a foreign nation. There are people that hated them and despised them. Where they didn't, why did they conquer them? But now they're here. But you do not find in the story where they cried, or where they complained, or where they bickered, or tried to run away or do anything else. But what you find in the stories, they obeyed. And in their obedience, they still honored their God. No matter what was going on around them, no matter what the rest of the people were doing, they were faithful to the great I Am. And in being so, God promoted them in a country far above the others because of their obedience and their love for Him. We often find ourselves in the middle of problems. We find ourselves in situations that may not be favorable for us. And it may be, sometimes, maybe it's our own doing. Maybe we did something we wasn't supposed to. Maybe we weren't somewhere we was not supposed to. Or we said something we wasn't supposed to have said or something like that. I don't know. But we're facing a problem. Maybe somebody else brought this problem in front of you. That's happened before. People bring things that you didn't want no business with, but they brought it in front of your face, so now you have to deal with this problem. Maybe it's a sin that you've gotten into, and God has brought it up so that you have to take care of it. But it's still a problem you have to face. Maybe it's temptation. Hey, but maybe it's growth. Maybe God needs to put something in front of you to make you stronger, to try your faith and to increase it. That's what He did for these three men. He brought a problem in front of them. Something that they did not want. They had no plans for doing. They didn't desire to be here. But yet here they stood. But they stood for God. Unwavering, they stood for God. But the problem got worse. Not only were they in a foreign land, now they were being told to do something that totally went against everything they stood for. We in our day and times, we find ourselves in situations. We find that we go someplace or something like that, and maybe something comes across our eyesight that shouldn't be there. Maybe it's at work or something. There's a conversation going on that started up right where you were eating. And now you're involved in it because it was there around you. Maybe it's issues at home. Could be issues anywhere. You never know when a problem's going to pop up. You don't have control over that most of the time. But can I tell you, you do have control over how it's handled. You do have control over the decisions you make from that point on. Once you realize that there's an issue, once you figured out that something is going wrong, once you understand there's a problem before you, you start having to make choices. You can either make the right choices, or you can make the wrong choices. The title of my message tonight is The Three B's. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego found themselves in a problem. Everybody around them were worshiping a false idol, a golden statue. When the music played, they were to immediately bow down and give praise unto a golden image. We find times in our lives and stuff that we're asked to do, maybe at work, or other places that maybe not agree with the Word of God. It may not be a golden image as what they have faced here, but you know it's against what God would have you to do. You've been in those situations? I have. The three B's is this. The example that they set for us was it did not bow. It did not bend. And it did not burn. They did not bow, they did not bend, and they did not burn. First one, they did not bow. Verse 16 and 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. I looked that up in the Hebrew because I was really curious of what it meant. And they had the audacity to tell the king, we don't need to answer you. It's what it's translated into Hebrew. It says, we don't need to give you an answer or a reason for why we're not bowing down. It is simple, folks. We don't have to answer them or give them a reason why we don't do the things of the world. Why? Because we are not of the world. We're of God. We are supposed to be children of God. And just like these three gentlemen were, they didn't have to answer or respond. He said, we have no need. We belong to Him, not to you. And I don't answer to you. Our word is the God. Word of God say, fear not the men that can kill the body, but fear the one that can kill the soul and the body. They understood that. They had no fear of the king. Can I tell you, sometimes when things come up and people start asking things or doing things, we don't really have to give them an answer either. Sometimes people are just looking for an argument. They're just trying to instigate you to get you excited, or maybe even get you mad or upset, so that you'll lose your witness statement or you'll do something out of character, because that's what they want you to do. Because they want you to be like them and not like Him. Sometimes we don't have to give them an answer because we serve Him. But if we do have to give them the answer, we always give them the Word of God. Our God, it says, whom we serve is able to deliver us. They had no fear. They had a true understanding that no matter what happens, if God desired to, He's able to deliver us. He's able to keep us from no matter what you do to us. He can take us out of that situation. No matter what you throw at us, they believe that God could take care of them. And God can take care of you. No matter what anybody else says they're going to do to you, if you serve God, guess what? Our God's greater than that. They understood that. We sing a song. He is able. He is able too. We have no fear. They were given a second chance to change their mind. He said, if you hear the music, if then you bow down. Can I tell you, we don't need second chances either. When we make a stand for God, we need to make that stand. When we say no, we need to stick by that word no. And I taught my Sunday school class about a month and a half ago about shutting the door. It's very important that we as Christians learn how to shut the door on situations. We don't need to say maybe. We don't need to say I think about it just to spare with how somebody's feeling or something like that. If it's against God's Word, the answer needs to be no. We need to shut that door and don't give them another opportunity. So often we want to be kind. Kindness doesn't work. We need to be firm. And give them an understanding that no is no. And they didn't need a second chance. They even told him so. Number two, it says they did not bend. Verse 18. But if not, be it known unto thee, O King, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden images which thou hast set up. He said, but if not. But if not. But if God desires for us to suffer, can I tell you it's okay? If God desires your life for a better purpose down the road that you may not understand, that I may not understand, can I tell you, it's okay. If God desires not to spare you from cancer, if God desires maybe not to spare a loved one from a wreck or something, maybe a house fire or something like that, I know we prayed for Levi's leg and everything, but if God desired that child's leg, but if not, it's okay. We may not understand it this side of heaven. But God has a plan. He knows the end situation. He knows what has to happen today to make a difference tomorrow. So when they said, but if not, they meant it's okay if we die. Because our God's still in control. Our God still has a purpose. Our God still loves us. No matter if we go into the fiery furnace and never come out in an earthly stance, it's okay, because God's got it right here. But if not, if we're going through a situation in our lives, and maybe you're not going to get the outcome that you want, but if you lay it at the altar of God and you truly gave it all over to Him, and He chooses a different way than what you think, I've got to tell you, it's okay. And we may not understand it. I don't even understand it truly. But if God, if that's God's design for us, if that's God's purpose for us, but if, it's okay. They did not bend, no matter what they knew was going to happen. Can I tell you, when the king told them that they were going to burn, they knew for surety that king meant business. It's not like today where we make bluffs and stuff. When the king said, hey, this is my proclamation, either you bow before my golden image, I'm going to burn you to death. It's okay, they said. Knowing full and well they were going to do it. Can I tell you, a lot of people are going to make threats to us later on in life. We may not even be here. It may be, I don't know when the Lord's coming back, but there's going to be a time when Christians can't be Christians out in the open. But for those that may be left, can I tell you, it's okay. Serve God. in your workplaces, no matter what they think about you, it's okay. Serve God. Don't bend. He set a straight path for a reason. He didn't put no curve in it, because we're not supposed to bend anyway. Not to the left and not to the right, but straight forward. These gentlemen did not bend. And they did not bow, because they knew their God was in control of all things. And then number three, they did not burn. He asked for the furnace to be heated 1-7 times normal. He was in such a rage and anger that he told his strongest men out of the army to grab them, to wrap them up, to tie them up, and to throw them into the furnace. The sinful ones burned. The guards burned up. They threw them into the furnace, and on the ground they said that they laid, and then they got up. They did not burn. Can I tell you? Those that love God, those that are saved, we have a promise. We have a promise that these men believed in even before Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. They knew that He was coming. They knew that God was real and that God was true. And they knew, guess what? They knew before they even went into the fire, they would not burn. If you're saved today, can I tell you, you're not going to burn. Can I tell you, there's no hell for us. If we're not going to burn, then what fear do we have? You may scorch the outward body, but we shall never burn for eternity. They understood that. They did not bow. They did not bend, and they did not burn. But one of the greatest things about this is the ending of this story. The story is something we need to glean from this. The last verse we read was what? And the princes, and governors, and captains, and kings, and counselors being gathered together saw these men. Can I tell you, the world needs to see Christians standing up and being Christians. They need to see us making a difference into the world. They need to see us standing and not bending or bowing or bowing, no matter what the world throws at us. They need that example. For their lives were changed by these three men that stood for their God and King. No matter what was going to happen to them, they didn't care. They stood there. And the outcome was what? There's but one God. We will serve the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because of their testimony, because they would not do nothing but say yes to God and no to the world. No matter what everybody else in the whole country was doing, here I stand on my solid rock. And here I shall stay. We need to be that example. We need not bow to the laws that are contrary to God's Word. We need not bend to please other people. And we should have no fear, for we shall not burn. Let's stand. Father God, we love You. And Lord, we thank You.